chapter 4, 2 Kings chapter 4. Yeah, it's been like a little bit of an odd morning. I tell you, Paul, you know, I'm up here every Sunday. I'm on the platform. But Paul does, he just, you know, leads us through the preliminary things, the singing and all that. So if I have to do it, I can't remember what comes next. I'm thinking, man, I got to do this, that, and the other thing, because I'm not just waiting for him to say. But with everybody being out and missing, and man, I'll tell you, when we get to the preaching, man, I'll be in my comfort zone. 2 Kings chapter 4, and the Bible says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, and even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word again, and thank you for encouragement there from Brother Brian, and Lord, just for each one that's here, able to be here today. Lord, we now ask for your presence, Lord, to felt awareness of your presence. Lord, speak to each heart. As I said earlier, you know our needs, Lord, and thank you for your word, for your Holy Spirit, for saving me, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message today is The Vessels, and we see in our text there was a widow woman. Obviously, her husband's dead. That's why she is a widow woman. Her husband had been, it says, one of the sons of the prophets. These were men that had certain prophetic gifts that also studied under Elisha's ministry. So Elisha knew her husband. She kind of pointed that out there as well. Of course, in those days, ladies, when your husband died, your source of income ceased. Women weren't usually in the workforce in the same way that at least money-making workforce they worked, but just wasn't getting paid. But you know, some of you ladies can relate to that now, right? Her income was gone, and the creditor had come. Apparently, there was some money due, and he had come to be paid. And this was a legal thing. If she didn't have the money, then he could take her sons to be bondmen for him. Until the debt was paid off. So here she's in a bad way. She's down financially. Her husband's died. Now her sons are about to be taken from her as well. And of course, she cried out. We see to Elisha, and he asked her what she had. She said she only had a pot of oil. It wasn't very much. I mean, it was worth something, but it wasn't enough. And so she was in a dire strait. We certainly see a picture there, and we talk about empty vessels. I was thinking as I read that, you know, when she was asked to bring these empty vessels to her house, that she herself was an empty vessel. You know, a lot of people get to that point in life, don't they, where they are an empty vessel. You know, sometimes we get to feeling empty physically, like we don't have any strength to carry on. And sometimes that's due even to being empty emotionally. Sometimes we get to that point where we're kind of drained with everything that's going on in our life. And then sometimes as well, we get to a place where, you know, we're empty spiritually. And I believe this woman had gotten to about all of those places in her life. She was empty spiritually and physically and just emotionally. She was in an empty place. And so we see that she cried out. It said that she cried. That's a strong word to Elisha, and he was God's prophet of the day. You got to remember, in those days, they didn't have the word of God. They had to go to a prophet, and the prophets would say, listen, thus saith the Lord. This is what God wants you to know. They didn't have the word of God. They didn't have the Holy Spirit as a permanent possession. She cried out to God's man, and that was the right place to go. And it was somebody that was empowered by God, that somebody she knew that could help And so she called out to him, and Elisha came, and he asked her two questions when he got there. He asked her, he said, "What shall I do for thee?" And then he asked her, he said, "What do you have in the house?" Those two questions right there. And she said, she had a pot of oil in the house. I believe, she knew. I think I mentioned this last week when the leper came to Jesus, that Jesus said, "What do you want me to do?" He knew exactly what he wanted. I mean, he knew what his physical condition was. He knew that. When Elisha came and he said, "What do you want me to do for thee?" She knew exactly what she wanted. She had a physical need. She was out of money, and her son's about to be taken, so she knew what she needed. And he asked her what all she had in the house, and she said, "This pot of oil." Now, this pot of oil was okay, but it wasn't enough to meet the need that she had. And so, I believe this, and I want you to have, we're going to be more on the spiritual thought than the physical thought, that, whatever we have that's apart from Jesus Christ, it's not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough to die on. It's not going to be enough for eternal life. It's not going to be enough to live the abundant life that God wants you to live in this. You can get by. There's people that live their whole lives. There's people that live to be 100 years old, and they've never trusted Christ, and they lived a physical life on this earth. I don't believe it was an abundant life, but I believe they got through. You can live apart from Christ on this earth, but you're not going to be able to die, without in the right way, without Christ. And so, he asked her two questions. She said she had just a pot of oil. And Elisha said, "Listen, I want you to go out. I want you to borrow empty vessels." He said, "I want you to go to all your neighbors." And vessels would be like vases or pots or something, pitchers, something that was designed to have something put in it. And he said, "Borrow all the empty vessels that you can find and bring them to the house." And so what I want to do this morning, I want to preach on this thought about those empty vessels. And I don't know that I exhaust the topic, but I found three types of vessels in the Word of God that I think that'll picture three either types of people or three places that we can get to or three things that we should understand about our own being. The very first thing that I want to talk about is earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. We see the spiritual picture here is the vessel is a body, and that the oil is the oil. A lot of times in the Bible is used as a picture of the Holy Spirit of God, so we get that in our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says this, and this is speaking to Christians if you're saved. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that's the excellency of the power. Power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not in us. And so we see that as a saved person that we have, we are an earthen vessel. I mean, we're a vessel, but we have this treasure of the gospel, this treasure of Jesus Christ. Those of us that are saved, in us, we have that. That's the treasure. And the vessels in those days, they were usually made, they were pottery. They were made out of mud or clay type or something mixed together, and it was clay. So it's just earth. That's what it says. Earthen vessels. That's how they make the pots. And really, they're not worth much. Almost in every case, and I thought about this when I was thinking about this text, and you'll see it here later, that whatever was put in a vessel was probably worth more than what the vessel was. I mean, you think, well, what about water? I'll tell you what, in that day, in that country, water in the pot was probably worth more than the pot, because water was scarce. It's not like living around here. And so we see the vessel wasn't worth much. Psalms 103:14 says, "For he knoweth, for God knoweth, that our frames, he knoweth our frames, he remembered that we are but dust." That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that when we die, that we're going to go back to the dust of the earth. We're going to go back. So we're really an earthen vessel is a great illustration of a human being, that we are an earthen vessel. And really, that there's no good thing. When you're saved, you learn this, that there's no good thing. And the more you review your life, you understand that there's no good thing. There's none good. We think about the illustration in the Bible, in the text, about the potter and the clay. We know the potter to be God and the clay to be us. us. And if you know how a potter works with clay, he takes his hands and it's spun around and he shapes and molds it. That's a great illustration of how God works in the life of a believer, people that put their trust in him. And like I say, so we're looking at the Christian viewpoint here of an earthen vessel. And a vessel's made to hold something. That's we understand that. You don't make a pot for, I mean, it could be for decoration, but it's designed in a functional way to hold something. Well, listen, you and I are the same way. Man is made to hold something, and that something is God himself. God made us with the empty place, a void that's only to be filled by God in the Holy Spirit himself. And until you put God in your life, you're always going to have an empty place. I don't care. You can try it with money, popularity, fame, anything you want to try to replace God with, it'll never take the place of God. You'll always have that emptiness, and that's why in life, and if you've known this, I don't know where your prosperity level is or what all you've done in life, but the more you get, you're never satisfied. You always want a little bit more. If you got $1 million a year, you'd want 110. You want 1,000,010. You'd want to have that much. If you were getting 1,000,010, you'd want 1,000,020. You know, you just want, we're never, you think you would, you'd only be satisfied 6 months, trust me. Then you'd want to go to the next one. We see it on television all the time and people that make a lot of money. And so the pot is made. There's a purpose there. And of course, we that are saved have the Holy Spirit. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ within us. And that's the treasure that it's speaking about in 2 Corinthians 4:7. And listen, it's not the vessel that's valuable, but it's only the treasure within. I heard a guy at the prayer advance, he said this. He said, listen, if there's any good thing in me, it's God. And anything, if there's anything that's bad, it's me. And that's just the way it is. If there's anything good in us, it's God. And anything that's bad, it's us. And so two places right there. So we see an earthen vessel. And I just kind of was using point one to bring us up to this main point right here. And we see the empty vessel in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 3, when he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of thy neighbors, empty vessels. That's what he wanted. Emptiness, listen, here's the thing with God. When it comes to being filled by God, emptiness is eligibility. Emptiness is eligibility. This is where you become eligible. You know, it's required in coming to God for salvation. I don't think a person that comes to God with any reservations, with anything where he thinks he can get it done on his own self, in his own strength or by his own self, is going to really be saved. When a person gets to the end of himself, and itself is our biggest enemy. Listen, I'm going to tell you as a saved person that we fight against our own self more than we fight against anything else. We give Satan too much credit. I mean, he's powerful. Listen, we blame Satan for everything, but I'm going to tell you what, I wrestle with me more than I wrestle with him because I have to deal with my own self. And so we realize that, we have to get to this end. There's no other way. When we realize there's no other way to have eternal life, there's no other way to be saved other than Jesus Christ, there's nothing within ourselves. And this woman had got to a desperate state. The Bible says that she cried out. I mentioned that's a very strong word. She just didn't say, well, Lord, maybe if you can help. No, she cried out to God's man. I mean, and this was when you cry out, it's a desperation that's a desperate cry. And we think about that leper I mentioned last week when the leper came to Jesus and he said, what shall I do unto thee? Or what shall I do for thee? I mean, he knew exactly what his need was. And he said, this is what I want. I want to be made clean. I want to be healed. And so she asked. And when I mentioned this last week, and I'll say this again what are you coming for today? What is your purpose today? Entertainment or something to do, something to burn up time before lunch? Are you coming to, hopefully if you're saved, you're coming to worship God, but I think we still need to hear from the Word of God because I see Christian folks that are living empty lives sometimes and not very full lives as well. So what do you really want when you come and you hear the preaching of the Word of God? We see Christianity today, there's so many folks that are barely making it, defeated or discouraged, limping along. They've got dead Christian lives, cold Christian lives. And, we wonder, well, how does that go according to the Word of God? Jesus said that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. If that's the case, then why do we see so many Christian people that are living, kind of burned out? They've got burdened down. They give out. They burn out, give out, and then finally they give up a lot of times. You know, and I'll tell you why. They're running on empty, but they're not empty enough. That's the whole problem right there. There's just enough of something else in the pot to kind of keep them going. They can have self, and sometimes even full of self, not empty in that regard, but they can have self or something, some hope, something else that they're putting their faith in, some other thing that's a distraction. I don't believe when they poured that oil out, Elisha said, listen, I want you to bring empty pots. I don't believe anybody that had any, I don't believe they used a single pot that had anything in it. If they had any, they had to dump it out. Because I tell you what, even if, what if there had been oil in there, preacher, you think they'd dumped out? Yeah, they'd dumped it out. I'll tell you why, because the oil that Elisha was going to pour out of that pot was going to be better than the oil that was already in it, I'll guarantee you, because it was coming from God. Everything that God has to, for you is better than anything that you might have already had. And so, you know, we see that. Listen, empty vessels were filled, not half-empty vessels or not any vessels that contain something else. This is our deal here as Christians a lot of times. Boy, you know, I just want to have a revival. I want to have a filling of the Spirit of God. I just want God to do this and that in my life. Yet at the same time, we're not willing to empty ourselves of our own self. We won't empty ourselves of self. In other words, so that God can fill us, because He doesn't fill half full vessels. He doesn't fill unclean vessels. The only way that we're going to have a revival is if we'll go ahead and clean the vessel out. And, you know, get under conviction and you know, get rid of the things that don't need to be in our life. And, you know, just so that God can fill us and quit depending on our own self. You know, we think about this, we come, I'll never get this phrase out of my head. You're going to be sick of hearing it by the time I get done with you. But when Ron Lynch said at the men's prayer advance, he said, you know, when did you die? And he asked this question, when did it cease to be your life, your way? And it became Christ's life, His way. When did that happen? And that's our problem. See, the Christian life a lot of times is we want to have the Christ life. We want to have the Christ life, but we want to have it our way, not His way. But He pointed out, listen, you were crucified with Christ when you trusted Christ. You were crucified. You died with Christ. Huh? You just don't know that yet. You've got to realize that's it. It's got to be His life, His way, not our life, our way. And so sometimes we hold back reservations. It might be some kind of a little pet sin. You think, well, I've chiseled them all off down to this one thing. It's not that big a deal, but I'm going to tell you what, God's not going to fill that vessel. It might be, you know, some vice or maybe some other things that you don't look at like the big sins, like something that you're doing or not doing. But what about holding a grudge? How about unforgiveness? How about unlove? Huh? How about prejudices? How about all those things that you can hold on in your life, you know, that you just want to hold on to yourself? How about your time? How about your time that you hold for yourself? Huh? How about that? Think about that. Listen, man, I'm telling you, the five foolish virgins, you remember them? There was five wise and five foolish, and you know what? Five of them had oil in their lamps and five of them didn't. You know why the five didn't have oil in their lamps? Because they were lazy. They slumbered and slept, the Bible said. And I'm going to tell you right now, I know we started doing the webcasting. I know somebody's probably watching on the web thing right now, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're there, and I'm looking right at you now, if you're laying at the house watching this message right here, when you ought to be in church, because when you're not here, you can't do anything for these people right here. You got some gift that you can help in God's kingdom and God with God's people, and you're laying at the house watching, and what you got is it's really laziness, and if you disguised it as an excuse, that you've got all the excuses, but it really boils down to laziness. I'm going to tell you right now, you're never going to be filled. You're never going to be filled by God to be of any use to God when you lay out laziness. Watch it. That's the one danger of heaven. I told Brian, I said, one day, you know what's going on? They got a thing. We're going to get it where you can be able to send, you can tithe. You'll be able to pay money through the website and or it'll show up on this webcast thing that's on the internet. I said, well, crying out loud, won't nobody show up. I'm going to go down to the store and I'm going to get a bunch of mannequins and they're going to look a lot better than y'all. I'm going to get them all out here sitting in the seat and I'm going to have them raising their hands up. I'm going to have their mouth open, a little voice recorder back there saying, amen, preacher, amen. They're going to have their hands up. They're going to dress real nice. I'm just get a bunch of mannequins and y'all won't be here. Y'all be watching on the internet and I'll just be preaching to them.
light shined and confused them, that they were defeated by the light. They were defeated by the light. This is it right here. This is the great picture of this broken vessel. See, God can't use us until we're broken. I told the Gideons one time, you have the Gideons men thing, and they have a little pen, and it's got a picture on it. If you ever looked at a pen of a Gideon, it's got a picture on it. And I told one of them, I said, you know, that thing's not exactly correct. To make that thing biblically correct, it ought to have a little crack in it. It ought to have a crack going down that picture right there, the broken vessel instead of the complete vessel. I said, that would make it more biblically correct. Because what happens, see, when we break, when it's our self is gone and we're saved people, then what people see is God. That's what we see in Jesus Christ. Right? We're not going to defeat the world with our wisdom. We're not going to defeat the world with our knowledge, even our Bible knowledge. We'll not defeat the world with our Bible knowledge. We defeat the enemy. We defeat the world with the Spirit of God. When the image of Christ, you know, when Christ is living through us, not really the image, but Christ living through us. And so that was it. It defeated it. It defeated it. The darkness went away. And so the victory wasn't in the picture, but it was what was in the picture. And the victory's not in us, it's what's in us. The light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then there's one other story, and three of the gospels tell it, John 12, Mark 14, and Matthew 26 all tell this story. And I'll be almost done here in just a second. Mary came. You remember when Jesus was coming, he was about to go to the cross, and he was at a house, and Mary came, Lazarus and Mary, and she came and had an alabaster box of spikenard. It's a costly ointment. And I looked it up. Alabaster is it's a mineral, earthen vessel. Remember, it's a mineral, so it's earth, it's dirt, it's a nicer mineral, and people would take it and make things out of it, vases or boxes. They could carve it; it would carve really easy, and they could make designs on it and everything. But it said that she had an alabaster box, and it doesn't say that she opened the box, and it said that she broke the box. She broke it and took the ointment, and you have to read two gospel accounts, and one of them says that she poured it on Jesus' head, and the other one says that she wiped it on his feet and wiped it with her hair. Y'all remember that story. She wiped it with her hair. So between the two, it tells us that from head to toe, that Jesus was anointed with this oil, and there was a fragrance to it, and that it filled the whole room. It says the odor filled the whole room. Now, it was a picture of anointing Jesus for what was about to take place, but I like to look at it like this, too. I believe that it was also pictures Christ himself. That spikenard pictured Christ himself coming out of that broken vessel, filling us from head to toe and filling the room. Everybody in that room was affected by that smell. They smelled it. And sometimes odors in the Bible are used to picture the prayers of the saints there. But I just think the impact that a broken life that's filled with Christ has, you know, on that single room right there. That's the picture that we see with that broken vessel right there. We have to be a broken vessel. And so, you know, we are filled by Christ to give us life, and even to sustain our life as Christians, but also to let the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shine and spill over to others. That's our really, the reason that we're not taken away, we're saved, and the reason God doesn't take us to heaven right then is so that he will live through us. We are crucified with Christ, yet we live, not I, but Christ that lives within me. That Christ lives through us, and that light is spilling, shining, the oil is spilling over, however you want to look at it, to others that they can be saved. How's your vessel today? You have an empty vessel, a half full vessel, maybe a broken vessel. Like Brother Lynch said, when did it cease to be your life, your way? Become Christ's life, his way. Let's all stand with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word this morning, and Lord, we know nothing's accomplished by what we do or say as much as what you do, and I'm praying that you speak to each heart that's here, even as I pray, Lord, that if there's one here not sure about their salvation, Lord, just don't know, or maybe they're just vessels empty. Maybe they've just holding on to too much of their self. Lord, as we have an invitation, an opportunity to come and kneel and pour our hearts out to you, I pray that you work in the invitation today. Lord, thank you for loving us. Lord, help us to love you more. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to have a song. If you need to come down to the altar, you come. If you want to be saved and get my attention or just need me to pray with you, be glad to do it. I surrender all. Super Bowl tonight. Huh?